Good evening. Good evening. I know you don't have to identify yourself. There's just one person on, and we'll be waiting for some others.
Okay, it's Hannah.
How are you?
I'm okay. My company left.
I was about to ask. I hope you had a good time with them.
Well, they wear me out. 4-year-old and 10-year-old.
They definitely will do that.
They came wanting to play Hanukkah games. Oh, man.
Well, as long as they get their holidays straight, eventually.
One of these little symbols of Hanukkah in a bag, and that's what I played with them at Hanukkah, and they remembered. You know, we close our eyes and then take one away, and which one did we take away? And that seems to, they just like it. I'm just going to ask me all year every time they come.
It's fun. Oh, we're both resting now.
Okay.
I had some calls between classes that wore me out as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been working on my floors, and that really tires me out. I started last week. And it just takes time.
It does. Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you going to be muting your phone, please?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go ahead and mute as well.
Okay. I'll be starting it momentarily. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati, Serura, Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi, Kabil Rinat. Amcha sagbenu tacharenu no ra ufreshayan sintokun. The letters of the month of Adar, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, the planet of righteousness, the planet of justice. And the Kuv that created the constellation Dagim, the fishes, the astrological sign Pisces. Na gibor dor shehutcha kivavat sham leim. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tamid gamlem betet reish sadi taf gimel chasin kadosh birov tucha nael adata het kuf bet tet nunayim. Yachid ge'eh lamcha p'nei zochrei kedushata. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodeya talumot shin kufav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we will separate the right column energy from the left column energy of this creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to do this. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer Chesed L'Alafim, Noseaon Wafeshal, V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We're now going to read the two verses that connect to the energy of the year of the goat, 5777. The first verse we will read is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni tzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words, tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. Now we're going to read the second verse, which is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And this verse connects to the year 5777, because the name of the year is concealed within the verse, and each letter is separated by seven other letters. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadubaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now we're going to connect to the year 5776 with two verses. This year has the energy of the pause. The first verse that we will read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha-yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshi et kol ha-olot v'yechaskum achechem ha-levim ad kilot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha-kohanim ki ha-levim yishre levav leitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to parse it, permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe, La La He, Wa Wa Wa, Yo La Yo Ala Me, Hey Hey Hey, Aka A, Re Ka Ha. And the next second verse that we will read is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. There are three verses that connect to the energy of the year that death is swallowed up, the year 5775. The first verse we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The next we will read 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mikol hamachavoyiyam, asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem, elai el nachon, v'halakti yitchem, v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, O Tov B'Kol Alfei Yehuda. The third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo Lanetzach Yoved Roav Yomru Ayo. Second Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael untati vishakan kach tav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar. Connects to the energy of certainty. Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. B'shem Yehud Kutsha Barichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu Urchilu Urchilu Urchimu Le'yachda L'shem Yud He B'vav He B'yehuda Shalim B'shem Chol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino amadunaya lohenu alenu maase adenu kanane alenu maase adenu kananehu. Rabia avamar bikamatar tane nandikucha. Kurihu komadiaved leela witata. Kolaihu kishotio vada. Dikshot vile las mila ialma divae parnash ladasya leya mineya ulan hagabeya solana deha ulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itsterif ialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left today. The 17th day of Adar, Rabbi Alexander Siskind, Rabbi Chanoch Chinoch HaKohen, Rabbi Nachum Mordechai Friedman, Rabbi Yehezkel Levenstein, Rabbi Moshe Weber, and Rabbi Yitzhak Shlomo Zilberman. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, today's class is beginning our preparation for Passover by discussing the halakha of cleaning and the general understanding of the cleaning process. Searching for chametz, etc. You can find the handout on the unique astrological times link. It's on the underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. When that link opens up, scroll down to where it says in bold preparation for the spring holidays, and then look down the list of items to find the Pesach cleaning procedure. The base of this document comes from an e-book issued by the Jewish outreach organization, Eisha Torah. I have added many Kabbalistic teachings that, in my opinion, enhance the information being presented. An introduction. This handout is a beginning attempt to explain the halakha of Passover cleaning. The minhag, the custom for the Ashkenazi cleaning, is quite rigorous. The Sephardic cleaning is less rigorous. Yet both minhagim, both customs, are meant to be more than the typical American spring cleaning. The kavanah, the intent, the consciousness, while one cleans, is very important. As one cleans physically, one needs to understand that they are cleansing themselves of chametz and dirt spiritually. This is most important. God took the Jewish people out of Egypt in the springtime. The Talmud notes that God was very thoughtful. Not only was he interested in redeeming the nation, he wanted to do so at a time when the weather was just right, not too hot and not too cold. Everything about the Passover season is beautiful. The whole idea of redoing your house, your environment for the holiday should be a beautiful experience. For some reason, though, the burden of all this cleaning often hangs heavy over us. And as a result, we lose much of the joy of Passover. I'd like to not only make Passover cleaning a little easier, but above all, to change the attitude once and for all, to stop being frightened. Passover is not a monster. It's the most beautiful time of the year, spring. In order to change our attitudes, two things are necessary. The first is to know the halakha so that you do not do what is unnecessary unless you want to. That is why the general halakha is to begin your study of Pesach on the evening of Shushan Purim. Many people do so many Passover preparations that are done unnecessarily. Where if you want to do them for extra credit, that's fine. But it's important to understand what is a necessity and what is voluntary. Secondly, there's practical advice. I want to share some tips that I've picked up over the years. Cleaning for Passover can actually be easy. There's lots of room for creativity, and it's also fun. And it's fun for the whole family, not just the female who seems to have most of the effort. The important aspect of Pesach cleaning is to clean yourself spiritually. Many people get lost in the nuance of physical cleaning and forget to cleanse themselves spiritually. Please do not do this. More importantly, as you physically clean, you're also recommended to be concentrating on what is the spiritual cleaning that is necessary. And the physical cleaning then becomes the vehicle to achieve the spiritual cleaning. Initially, the obligation to get rid of chametz. In cleaning for Pesach, we are first and foremost fulfilling the mitzvah of biur chametz, getting rid of chametz. Biur chametz is actually quite an easy mitzvah in terms of physical exertion. The Torah says, Tashbisu seor mil baltechem. Make all your sourdough rest. The Torah mitzvah is that you can possess all the chametz you want, but in your mind it must be dust, it must be ownerless, and it must have no value. My commentary. This truth must be internalized, as it is the first step in learning about creation through consciousness or destruction through consciousness. It is important to learn this lesson and this mitzvah. This is how we will remove the angel of death from our consciousness. Now, obviously, we are dealing with something subtle and vague. What goes on in your mind, no one knows except you and Hashem. It's quite easy to think you have considered everything null and void, when in truth, you can't wait for Passover to be over so you can partake of all those goodies once again. So the sages institute a requirement to physically destroy the chametz. And this mitzvah is known as Berikat Chametz. The sages say it is not enough to emotionally write the chametz off as dust. You must actually search out any chametz you can find and physically destroy it. My commentary. This means you do not have to kill yourself looking for chametz, unless you need to do that to remove your spiritual chametz. Have fun. Think about the aspects of your ego that is pumped up and unnecessary. Remember this from your character traits while you remove the physical chametz from your house. If you miss something physical, do not beat yourself up and feel guilty. Just make sure you remove it from yourself. Remember, what you remove of chametz will actually be reduced to ownerless dust by the procedures the sages have given us to perform. When to search. The mitzvah of Berikat Chametz is to be done on the night of the 14th of Nisan, the evening prior to the Seder. Why is it done at night? Because in your home there are crevices and corners that have to be illuminated by artificial light. And artificial light works best at night. Why the 14th? The sages said that if some people do it on the 12th and others on the 13th, you'd lose the power of the community reminding and encouraging each other. This way there is a set time. Every Jew does Berikat Chametz on the night of the 14th. However, our homes over the years have grown in size and consequently are more complicated to clean. As a result, the ability to do Berikat Chametz in a few hours on the night of the 14th is no longer feasible. Even if you stay up all night, chances are there are parts of your home you'll never get to. So we start our Berikat Chametz early. So realize that when you start cleaning for Passover, you are doing Berikat Chametz. And this is important because there are specific rules for Berikat Chametz. My commentary. Whenever you start to clean your home, you are searching for chametz, whatever that is. We will define it below. There is a specific ritual to follow on the night of the 14th of Nisan. This is looking for chametz, realizing that we have already cleansed all of the chametz. We will discuss more on this ritual below. Cleaning day and night, or cleaning day or night. As we said, Berikat Chametz must be done at night because that's the only time that artificial light is effective. As a result, we have the following rule. You can inspect by daylight anything that does not need artificial light. For example, anything movable that you could hold up near a window or any part of the house that has sufficient daylight. If you choose to add artificial light during the daytime, it doesn't hurt, but it's really almost useless. On the other hand, any part of the house that needs artificial light, closets, corners, insides of cabinets, these places must be inspected at night and make sure they are sufficiently lit. And I am adding, underneath furniture that requires moving in Ashkenazi homes. Not so in Sephardic homes. The only time that you cannot do Birkat Hametz altogether is in twilight. You don't have enough daylight, and yet it's not dark enough for the artificial light to be effective. Consequently, you could clean at twilight if it's convenient, as long as you later inspect these cleaned areas, whether in daylight by day or in artificial light at night. What are we searching for? What is chametz? What kind of chametz do we have to get rid of, and what is chametz anyway? These are good questions, don't you think? The Torah says, Lo yira'e lecha chametz, velo yira'e lecha seor, v'chol givulchecha. Neither chametz nor seor shall be visible to you in all your boundaries. Chametz is defined as the result of grain that ferments. Seor is sourdough, highly fermented dough that is used to make another dough ferment. Instead of using yeast, what they did in the olden days, and many people still do today, is to take a little piece of old dough, mix that with the fresh dough, and it causes the fresh dough to rise. So chametz and seor are the two things the Torah requires us to get rid of. But there's a difference between the two. Chametz is food. It's edible by human standards. You'd serve it. You'd eat it. If a human being wouldn't eat it, then it's not chametz. Because by definition, chametz must be food. On the other hand, nobody eats seor. It's non-edible, fermented grain, which has the function of fermenting other dough. There is a third category, non-edible chametz, that is not capable of fermenting other dough. That is neither chametz nor seor. Halakhically, we call this garbage, and it does not have to be gotten rid of for Passover. Similarly, the Talmud says that seor, which is so bad that even a dog wouldn't eat it, like it was poisonous, is halakhically not regarded as seor and is therefore not a problem on Passover. To review the three categories, chametz is food made of fermented grain. Seor is non-edible sourdough, which has the power to ferment other dough. And the third category is garbage, is something that is neither incapable of fermenting other dough, or so totally non-edible that a dog wouldn't eat it. My commentary. Let us discuss a deep Kabbalah understanding which comes from Hebrew astrological teachings. The holiday of Pesach occurs in the month of Nisan, which is connected to the astrological sign of Aries. Aries is connected to the planet Mars, which has a connection to the Sephirah of Hod, and is considered related to the emotions of war. Edible grains are transformed into forms of bread with yeast. This yeast is an expansive essence and acts puffed up like our egos. When we do not eat chametz during the energy time of the calendar, we are not receiving what the Kabbalists refer to as atomic and nuclear energy. Yeast represents the desire to receive for oneself alone. When we ingest additional desire to receive for oneself alone, during the intensive energy of Mars Nisan Aries, which is relating to the warlike energy, creates an out of balance condition that humans are not able to handle, usually. That is why we need to search for Chametz to lower our egos and bring ourselves back to balance, which is represented by the 15 steps of the Seder. Let's talk about different products that we have around the house. For example, deodorants and cosmetics, which may very well contain some grain products. Of course, you're not going to eat it. Is it therefore automatically disqualified from the category of chametz? And what about seor? Can deodorant be used to ferment another dough? It cannot, and consequently should not be seor either. Some years ago, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein came up with a unique approach that revolutionized the practical applications. He said that even if something in its present state is inedible, but if you can possibly distill it and produce edible chametz, then we would call that chametz. As a result, he ruled that anything containing grain alcohol, ethyl alcohol, is considered chametz. Even though you would never dream of eating it, nevertheless, if you distill it, it would turn into drinkable alcohol. Ask any alcoholic, because in desperation, they do distill something poisonous like aftershave and drink it. Therefore, any liquid cosmetic that has any form of grain alcohol is considered chametz and must be gotten rid of for Passover. My commentary. As you can see, a fence has been built to protect people. We do build fences around the Torah, as we are taught to do so by the sages. These fences also provide a space that allows us to lower our egos. Thus, finding chametz in deodorant allows us to go deeper into our own levels of ego. That is my opinion, is why Rabbi Feinstein built this fence. Most people do not need to do this action unless they are Talmid Chachamim, as was Rabbi Feinstein. Again, this is my opinion. This idea only applies to liquids, because you can't distill a solid. Therefore, any solid substance like stick deodorant or soap, which is inedible, is not chametz and could not ferment a dough. Therefore, it's not seor. And it cannot be distilled. The halacha is you can only use solid substances on Passover, and you don't have to put them away. Technically, you could even use it on Passover, although the custom is not to use any stuff that has chametz in it as a cosmetic. That's why people buy soaps that are special kosher for Passover. And I am adding another fence that comes when people do not know why, the why of an action as taught by the Kabbalah. How about beer shampoo or liquid deodorant, which contains no grain alcohol, but has wheat germ in it? That's not chametz, because you wouldn't eat it. Can it ferment another dough? No. Can you distill it? No, it's only alcohol that you can get by distilling. You won't get wheat germ vapor by distilling your deodorant. Consequently, these things are not a problem. You are allowed to keep them around during Passover. Though, again, the custom is not to use them. Breadcrumbs. What about breadcrumbs on your kitchen floor? There are various opinions in the halakha, but I'm going to present one in particular that is easier to understand. We established that the third category, garbage, is defined as anything that cannot ferment another dough and is so non-edible that even a dog would not eat it. According to most halakhic authorities, there is one more substance that is defined as garbage. Chametz that is smaller than a kesayit, about 30 grams, and you would not use it for anything. This is something most people call garbage. You would easily throw it away, and in your mind, it's nothing. Crumbs fit into this category. The only kind of crumb that's problematic is one you pick up with your finger and put on your tongue. So leftover crumbs from the table are, in fact, chametz. Leftover crumbs on the floor, which you wouldn't eat, are garbage. Therefore, any crumb that you would consider dirt and is smaller than a kesayit does not have to be gotten rid of. The fact that a baby eats it does not turn it into chametz. Because when a baby decides to eat something, it is not a conscious decision that this is food. If you have non-food around a baby, we'll eat that too. And I am adding, in my opinion, these crumbs are chametz, since if someone is hungry enough, they will eat these crumbs just as a baby would. Although they would not think of them as food. Remember, there is a Kabbalistic minhag to eat breadcrumbs from a challah bread to protect our children from negative entities. This may also apply to these breadcrumbs that fell from the table onto the floor. There is a spark within that crumb, and it is lowered into the klipot, even further than it is now, when it falls onto the floor. Thus, putting into the garbage makes it more difficult for that spark to be redeemed. That is why we eat the crumbs while still on the table. This applies to matzah crumbs as well. Let's do a quick review. Before we go on, let's make sure we got it straight. When do we do berikat chametz, and what are we looking for? One crumb of edible chametz cannot remain in your house, and you've got to destroy it. Also, anything that contains ethyl alcohol, since it can be distilled, is called edible chametz, but must also be disposed of. We are also looking for something that is more than a kesayit, regardless of whether you consider it food or not. If it's less than a kesayit, of non-edible chametz, you don't have to get rid of it because you consider it dirt. Also, if it's something even a dog would eat, then even more than a kesayit is not problematic. When you're cleaning for Passover, all the goodies in your freezer and cabinets, bread, cakes, crackers, all of that is chametz. You have to get rid of it one way or another. But aside from that, you probably won't find much edible chametz in your house. Berikat chametz, therefore, is not so difficult. In the bedrooms, for example, you don't have to sit with a pin scraping the corners. Even further, let's say you have a gook stuck to your chametz dishes. If the stuff is non-edible, then you can forget about it, as long as it does not total a kazayin of gook. But there is no need to sit there and scrub the dishes with still steel wool. Just make sure there is no edible stuff on them and no kazayin of gook, and put them away. My commentary. Many Orthodox people develop over time eight sets of dishes. Milk and meat, dairy dish, daily dishes. Milk and meat, Shabbat and holiday dishes. Milk and meat, Pesach dishes. And milk and meat, Pesach Shabbat dishes. This also applies to a certain extent to the pots and pans. That is why it says, put them away, since one would not use daily dishes on Chol HaMoed days of Pesach. One important point, if you feel like going beyond the limit and scraping the walls and ceiling, go right ahead. Of course it's not required, but the halakha is actually stated in the Shulchan Aruch that no one is allowed to laugh at you. In the words of the rabbis, Yisrael Kedoshim Chem, Jews are holy when they go beyond the letter of the law. Be careful, however, not to go so far that you develop an antagonistic attitude towards Passover. If all this extra non-required cleansing is going to make you dread the holiday, then forget about it. And certainly you should not clean so much that you're exhausted for the Seder. Part of being holy is appreciating the holiday also. We're going to stop here. We have a few minutes left, but we wouldn't be able to finish this next section. So we will pick this up next week. Or you can go forward and read it yourself as you choose. Does anybody have any questions? Tomorrow we will have a mini Zohar class at 4:30 and questions and answers at 7 p.m. Shalom to all.
Shalom.